My friends and family, it's certainly great to be here today. I'm thankful for all those who are in attendance with us. I'm thankful for those who are our members here and those who especially also are visiting with us. I'd like to make mention that Miss Lou is shining bright today because Lori Holland is here with her husband Jimmy. And then also their children. I didn't mention Lori Wednesday night. If y'all were here, y'all get that. And Kim is here, and Kim has her children. And also, Kim, as I think we've mentioned by now, is expecting another baby boy. So she will have a basketball team, officially. So y'all continue to pray for her. But great to have you guys with us today, and all those who are visiting with us. Let me make a couple announcements before we get into the heart of our sermon, our study time together. Brother Larry Hancock is officially in rehab. I know we mentioned that. And let me just say, this is hot off the press as of this morning. He encourages visitors, actually. So please feel free to go. But if you are not well, don't go. All right? I love you enough to say, hey, don't take him any colds. Please, you call him or whatever. But please, if you can, it would cheer him up. He loves being here. You know he and Betsy love being here more than anything. He's probably watching on the live stream. Hey, Brother Larry, we love you. We're praying for you. So get better and continue to pray for him. I do also want to announce that last week you saw these children come up here. I love it, man. I love their enthusiasm. I love what they do. Justin's been mentioning to you that we're going to take children's contribution from last week and help out some families that had lost everything from the fires in town. And so $275 was raised from our children's contribution last month. And so that's a blessing. Appreciate your help in that. If you look back here to my left, your right, you see our sweet sister Joy and brother Ed, our sweet brother Ed. Sister Joy had a bad fall a few weeks ago, but she's back today. It's great to have you with us. And cornerstones, pillars of our church family. So we're glad you're here with us, sister. Appreciate you. Continue to pray for them. Then also, I've got another announcement to make to you. Happy announcement. God is so good at taking terrible situations and turning them positive, isn't he? He's so good at taking tough times and bringing like-minded people, like souls together and making things happen. And many of you have been affected by struggles in families and marriage and such. And so both of these today that I'm going to talk to you about, unfortunately, they scripturally have had reasons to end their first marriages. And there was moments in their families' lives that they thought, hey, you know, I'm miserable. You know, I've described divorce this way. If you have to go through a divorce, it's like a death that doesn't die. And so today I'm very happy to tell you that these two who have had struggles and where spouses have been unfaithful have found one another and they are married now. And that is my brother Todd and my new sister, Angie Cagle. Todd and Angie Cagle are married. So, and I know that's a little awkward because we have a Toby and Angie Cagle as well. But I'm very proud for them, very happy, and continue to pray for them as they start their family and life together. Many of us in this room have struggled with guilt. You don't have to tell me, I know, because I know how guilt is. I know how the devil works. And the devil would want nothing more than each and every one of you to believe that you are not worthy enough to be a member of our Lord's church. You see, the devil would want nothing more than for you to think you're not good enough, that you are such a sinner, you've done so many vile things, you've had so many things in your heart, so many things go through your mind, so many things that your eyes have seen, that your body's done. He wouldn't want you to believe that you can come and be a Christian today. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But I'm telling you right now, that's not what God wants you to believe. And today, in my attempt at helping our minds get to a moment where we understand that none of us are worthy of salvation. But because of God's amazing grace, we're able today to be saved. We're able today to be whole again. We're able today to be washed in the Lamb's blood so that we can have salvation and freedom from our sins. And today, if you walk out of here baptized into Jesus Christ, if you walk out of here rededicated, renewed to Jesus Christ, then you and I have the opportunity and privilege and honor to walk out of here guilt-free. So if today you are holding on to guilt, I'm going to tell you that through this message, I hope and pray that today you'll leave it at the cross. You'll leave it where it needs to be. Guilt is an emotion that continually plagues us if we allow it to, even years after the incident occurs. Let's say years ago I did something very foolish, and I allowed sin into my life, and I've since then been free from that sin. I've been chained up, but Jesus Christ took the chains off, and today I can walk whole again. But you know what happened years ago? When I stumble and things don't go my way, you know what the devil does? He says, "Hey, you remember what happened years ago? You remember when you did that?" That's the way the devil works. But today I'm telling you, we can't listen to that. We got to get that out of our lives. You know why? Because it holds us back. We all want to be renewed. We all want to walk whole. We all want to walk upright, just like Habakkuk teaches us. I'm going to talk about Hosea in a minute. Habakkuk, we want to walk on the high heels. We want to run like deer. We want to, even when there's not fruit on the trees or grain in the stalls, we want to be able to know, "Hey, I'm going to praise you, God." You see, and the way to do that is to let go of guilt. We got to get rid of this plague. You might ask the question, well, if guilt makes us feel so miserable, why does God allow me to experience guilt? We'll talk more about that in a moment. You see, true guilt is caused when we do not agree with God about the wrong that we have done. Psalm 69, verse 5, "You know my folly, O God, my guilt is not hidden from you." God understands it. He knows what you're going through. In chapter 5 of Hosea, the nations of Israel and Judah are accused of many sins. Mainly, they are spiritual prostitution, just like Hosea and Gomer. That was the parallel there. But they're also accused of arrogance and unfaithfulness to God. And God is displeased with them. He's displeased with their behavior, but He suggests that they admit their guilt and pursue the right course of action. Hosea 5, verse 15. Think about that for a moment. When Gomer goes and plays the harlot and the prostitute against Hosea, And she goes and sins and has children with all these other men and has a whole family, Hosea is instructed by God to go buy her back. Why? Because that's us to God today. God knows we're going to cheat on Him. God knows we're going to do wrong. God knows that we're going to struggle. He created us, so He knows everything about us. But He also sent a way for us to be freed. To be freed from sin, to be freed from guilt, to be freed from the things that the devil uses to hold us back. Now, we got any Toy Story fans in here? Kiddos, any Toy Story fans? All right. Anybody know this guy? Uh-huh. See, I try to do it for the children as well. Let me tell you about, I've seen Toy Story once or 10,000 times in my lifetime. Bo was a really big Toy Story fan coming up. This is a scene where with Rex and that slinky dog, but they've just realized that Woody is really trying to save Buzz. Remember that, Grayson? You remember when Woody's trying to save Buzz? You remember that, right? I told Grayson to make sure Rex is going to be on the screen today. But they accused Woody all this time of trying, and Woody did have some jealous bones about him, didn't he? To get rid of Buzz, because he wanted to be number one, but all in all, Buzz fell out the window and everything, and so he's trying to get him back, and Rex realizes that Woody was telling the truth, and right here, this dinosaur, he says, "Great, I now have guilt." You see, that's us today, right? We experience guilt when we realize we've sinned against God. When we realize He's the one who had the truth all along, and all He's been doing is trying to save us and trying to get us to understand the truth and to be right. And then we realize, well, I've broken His heart, and so guess what? I experience guilt. But you know what? That's okay. That first initial feeling of guilt is okay. You know why? Because that's conviction. I'm confident today that there are going to be a lot of sermons preached where there'll be no conviction preached. And that's unfortunate, folks. You know, I believe we probably could be thousands of members. I really do. If we just took the hellfire and brimstone out, really, and just preached feel good all the time. I really do believe that. But along the way, we can't do that. You know why? Because we have to be convicted. You have to be convicted of your wrongdoings, and I have to be convicted of my wrongdoings. I remember when I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, it was not about my relationship with God, even though that played a part of it. It was not about, hey, I want to please my grandparents and my mom and dad, even though that all played a part in it. It's not that I wanted to be a part of this great church family. That's part of it. The main reason, when I was a teenager and I became a Christian, I didn't want to go to hell. I mean, that's probably most of us, right? Most of us in here, if we obey the gospel as a young person, we realize, hey, I don't want to go to hell. You know what that is? That's conviction. By the way, today my relationship's grown. Yours has as well, right? I still don't want to go to hell, but now it's about the relationship with God. It's about my family. It's about other things, right? That relationship grows. But initially it's about somewhere along the way I was convicted in my heart that I was lost. When Bo was baptized in January, he stood right here after it. Everything was over Wednesday night, and he said, I feel like a thousand things are lifted off of me. By the way, I don't believe he really had a whole lot of sin. But the fact of the matter is, he felt that relief. He felt that. Why? Because conviction got him in the water. You and I have to be convicted. John 14, the words of Christ, beginning in verse 5. But now I go away to Him who sent me. That's Jesus going to God. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, you know who that is? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, I need you to note this. I need you to put this in your heart of hearts, in your minds. When He has come, this is verse 8 of John 14. He will convict the world of sin. He'll convict us. And of righteousness. And of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit that we are given on the day of baptism, the day we are immersed in Christ, He's the one that reminds us of our wrongdoings. We call it a conscience. You call it whatever, but recognize the Spirit working. But here's another point where this is illustrated is in Acts chapter 2. Familiar with this story, right? Acts 2, that's the beginning of the church, and people are obeying the gospel. 3,000 people respond to the invitation. Peter's preaching his heart out in the first ever sermon about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel. And he is preaching his heart out and he's laying it on the line and he tells them, you had the man who's not in a grave like David is. You love David so much, he's king and you put him in a high place. He said, the King of Kings is not in a grave dead and you put him on a tree. Boy, they were convicted. You know what else happened when they were convicted? They were guilty. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, they say, hey, I believe they're interrupting Peter. Peter's going to keep on preaching, right? Hey, what do we need to do? We're pricked to our hearts. We are cut to the heart. This is the hardest thing we've ever heard, and we've realized we need to know, how do we get this guilt off of us? How do we get this sin off of us? Peter said, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. You'll receive the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? 3,000 of them do it. Here's the beautiful thing about it, though. On that moment in verse 37, they were convicted. You want to know the difference between conviction and guilt? They were convicted. They felt guilty. They go hand in hand, right? But when they were baptized, we don't ever hear about them holding on to the fact that they killed Jesus again. It's not in Scripture. In fact, this is what it says. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. They continued steadfastly. Sound like a bunch of guilty people feeling sorry for themselves? No. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. They don't sound like a bunch of just lowly people. They had all things in common, sold their possessions, goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. How dare them, right? No, they should have felt sorry for themselves. They should have felt terrible. But they didn't. Their food even tastes better. Because you know why? They were guilt-free. It was gone. Yes, we need conviction. And you and I need to know that if I have sin in my life that I'm unrepentant of, or I've not had washed away, then I need to feel guilty right now. Because it's my sins that put Jesus Christ back on the cross. It's your sins that put Him, just like they did. We nail Him to the tree. But if I've had those sins washed away, then today you can eat your lunch with simplicity of heart. You can have gladness. You can have joy. And you can feel good about it because you can praise God and have favor with all the people. And through that, people are going to want to know, hey, why do you feel so good? Well, let me tell you what Jesus did. And what can happen is God can still add to the church daily. Those who are being saved. So the question then is, how do I get over it? How do I let go and move forward? Well, I'm glad you're asking that. Here's the pattern. Number one, we got to acknowledge the fact of sin. All right, 1 John 1. Turn your Bibles there if you want to, please. 1 John 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. That clock keeps throwing me off. I'm sorry. I'm talking fast. I got more time than I thought. 1 John 1, verses 1 through 10. This is how it reads. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your guilt be full. No, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. That's 1 John 1, 1 through 10. Here's where I want to take us now. In 1 John 1, 1 through 10, He lays down a pattern, not so that you can feel guilty, so that you can be full of joy. And here's what He says, and these are Terry's words, adding on to, or taking what John says and making it a fit to our sermon today. Number one, He says, acknowledge the fact of sin. Where do you find that, Terry? Well, in verse 6. If you look back at verse 6, it reads like this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Folks, today, if I need my guilt removed, if I need my sin removed, if I need to understand how to get rid of this, I've got to acknowledge the fact I'm a sinner. You see, Romans 3:17 reminds us we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Right? We are sinners. We have sin in our lives. In verse 37 of Acts 2, they realized they had sin in their lives. They were wrong. They were wrong and they were guilty. There's no denying that. There's no denying what they had done. Well, guess what? If we're accountable of our sins and our deeds, there's no denying that we're sinners. But in order to get the sin and guilt out of our lives, we've got to admit it. You know, I've heard people say, man, if you know the things I've done, I can't go to church. Nobody loves me. Nobody will be there. Well, guess what? We all have a past. I've got skeletons that were in my closet. You've got skeletons that are in yours. Some sins are, we may assume are bigger than others, but they're not, right? If I'm a gossiper, I'm a murderer. I mean, Bill talked about Matthew 5. He's transitioning there. It's not about the law, it's about the heart. I mean, it was wrong to murder, but now he's saying if you hate your brother, you're killing him in your heart. It's wrong to cheat on your wife, but if you lust after another woman, even though there's no physical act, hey, you've broken that covenant. And so the reality is we're all sinners. Sin separates us from God. So if I want to be free today, the first thing I have to do, the right step I have to take is make my life right with God. Okay? I have to make things right with God. The second thing I have to understand is I've got to admit the fault of sin. Once I admit the fact that, yes, I'm a sinner, then I've got to realize, hey, I'm at fault. I've made a mistake. Verse 8 of 1 John 1 reads, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know what the truth is? The same thing it was in verse 37. We killed Jesus. We did. We killed Him. Because the Hebrew writer reminds us that we crucify again the Son of God. You know, I've mentioned, and I don't know Mel Gibson, and I'm not going to vouch for his salvation, but he is the one who produced the Passion of the Christ. Okay, and he wrote himself into that movie. Whether you've seen it or not, whether you like it or not, you know, I'm not going to question that today. But it's a strong scene where Jesus is scourged and ultimately killed, and I think he did those two things very well in that movie. He's very strong. His hand is the one driving the nails into Jesus Christ. That's Mel Gibson. He wrote himself into that movie. He didn't have his face, didn't have his body, he just had his hands. Because he wanted to remind himself that I killed him. I put him on the tree. And folks, I'm here to tell you that we are at fault and that should cause conviction, which also will lead to guilt. But we can't get cured until we admit we are at fault. Yes, sin puts Jesus on the cross. Yes, I killed him. In fact, Romans 5, verses 6 and following, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still hell-bound sinners, right? He died for us. Sin. Our sins. Make it personal right now. Make it personal. Your sins, my sins, kept Jesus Christ on the cross. That is the fault of sin. And this is where guilt begins to grow. But there's a solution coming. And number 3 starts leading us that way according to 1 John. We've got to ask for the forgiveness of sin. In 1 John 1, verse 7, we have these words, if we walk in the light, He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from most sin, some sin. No, it says all sin. I'm simple-minded, y'all. Okay, I've never been a guy that's going to use a lot of million-dollar illustrations and words with you. This is the way it works with me. This is the way I've taught it for years. It's worked. Teenagers have understood it, stood it. So I'm hoping we'll all understand it today. I want you to pretend we've got a big washing machine up here, okay? A washing machine that works with the lid up. All right? I know that's not possible because it all goes down and everything works then. But I want you to picture the lids up on the washing machine. All right? And the washing machine is steadily washing. It's steadily washing. It's steadily washing. Come along the way, mom, dad say, hey, bring your clothes hamper to the laundry room. And what do we have to do then? Well, the washing machine's not going to go and get the clothes. You're going to have to put the clothes in. But the washing machine's going to do all the work. And that lid's going to remain open. And it's going to keep washing. Well, today I want you to understand this, that Jesus Christ is our washing machine. Now, that may belittle him, and I certainly don't mean to. But up behind this wall is water. And the water itself's not holy, but God putting us in the blood of Jesus Christ is. Okay? And when I go down in that water and I submit myself to Jesus Christ and He covers me with His blood, it doesn't stop when I get up to the steps. It keeps on washing. It keeps on cleansing. That is written in the present tense. It cleanses us. Not that it cleansed us. It cleanses us from all sin. But what I must do is put my sins in. Jesus does all the work. Acts chapter 2. Again, when they were baptized, they didn't just not sin anymore. But they had all things in common. They sold their possessions. They continued steadfastly apostles, doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They had found favor with God and all people. And God added the church daily, those who were being saved. And the reason that was is because they had joy. The joy that John talks about here. They were renewed. And Jesus Christ's blood kept washing. The Ethiopian eunuch, why did he go on his way rejoicing once he came up out of the water? Because when Philip, now I have to make an assumption here, but I think it's a safe assumption. When Philip taught Jesus to him, he taught about baptism. He taught about the blood. And he taught about how the blood will keep washing. So it gets us to the last point. And that's this one. We need to accept the fact that our sin is gone. This is the step most people struggle with. If you walked in here today and 20 years ago you did something and you're still holding on to it, you haven't got to this step. When I was a child or a young Christian, teenager, I used to be scared to death of judgment. I did. I was scared of the judgment day because, hey, at the judgment seat of Christ, yeah, we're going to be alone because it's going to be one-on-one, but we're also not going to be alone because the whole world's going to be there. And there, and the way, you kind of picture it, again, how God do it however He wants to. But if we could show a slideshow right now, hey, Terry Cagle, this is your life. And man, they're going to show all my sins. I used to sit there and think, that is going to be scary because I've done some things I don't want anybody to know about, right? I said some things I don't want anybody to know about. You know, I thought some things I don't want anybody to know about, and boom, it's going to be there. But the older I've gotten, you know what I've learned? No, it's not. Because when Christ washes it gone, it's gone. So today, you may be holding on to it, but God is not. So we've got to accept the fact that my sins are gone. That's what they did in Acts 2. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Now, I said these Wednesday night, I put them in the bulletin, and I'm going to say them again today. That's three times. Do I think you need to know these scriptures? I certainly do. I'm going to go through them quick. Oh, by the way, in 1 John 1, it's verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John 3:17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. What a great verse. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. 1 John 1:9, I already read it. Hebrews 8 verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. Beautiful. I will remember no more. Psalm 103 verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Those are, I don't know, 9 verses or so that we need to take to heart. Now, Jesus Christ was either a liar. You've heard this before, right? He was either a lunatic or He's Lord. Either He lied about who He was and He lied about these promises, or He was a lunatic who was just crazy, didn't know what He was talking about, and all this junk is crazy. Or folks, we know it. He's truly Lord. And what He says goes. And what He promises will be fulfilled. And what He spoke is the truth, because it is impossible for God to lie. He is Lord. The question is He your Lord? Is He my Lord? Now, Bill came up here and talked about Passover, and I'm going to close right here. He even mentioned the guilt. What if today the Passover lamb was coming back? By the way, He is. But what if that death angel was coming? What if that death angel was coming and if we didn't have blood covering us, our firstborn child died? Could you imagine if you didn't have the door blood on the doorposts and lintels and you woke up the next day or you didn't sleep that night and you went to see throughout the darkness and finally the light shone and you go and look and you go to wake up your firstborn child and they're dead? You think you'd experience guilt? You better believe you would. My question is, what are we leaving our children today? What are we doing for them? What are we doing for ourselves? Are we teaching that there's power in the blood? That burdens were lifted at Calvary? Today, I want you to leave your sin and leave your guilt at the foot of the cross, as together we stand.